Yeah. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Showcase studio here on Michigan Avenue on a Wednesday morning. And we're going to be telling you about acronyms and what they stand for. We're going to talk about some of the best pitchmen in the world because the Menards guy passed away at 91. So we're going to talk about some of the other famous, most famous pitchmen. Our phone number and text is 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200, and that's what's going on. But whenever you hear Bill Withers, what do you think of? You think of Kevin Powell immediately. Kevin Powell, you can hear him do sports on the Rokan Show from 3 to 7 on weekdays. You can follow him on Twitter at kpowell720, and he's got his podcasts going, Powell at the Park. And we'll tell you about that and all kinds of other cool stuff. So we like to talk sports with Kevin. Let's talk to Kevin right now. Kevin, welcome back, buddy.
Nick D, great to hear from you. Appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. How you doing?
I'm great.
Yeah.
Great. Never been better.
Yeah, cool. All right. Well, let's talk about your podcast. Let's get to the Powell at the Park podcast. Tell everybody where they can get it. And let's go through some of the ones that you've done so far.
Yeah, I appreciate you allowing me to plug it. It's the Powell at the Park podcast. I've had the Powell at the Park blog for the past few years now, and I figured I'd add a podcast element to it. So there's been 9 episodes. Normally every Thursday morning around 10 a.m. it drops, and you can listen at WGNRadio.com or iTunes and Google Play. If you listen on iTunes, please subscribe and review and rate. That would be much appreciated. But normally it's Cubs and Sox talk, so there's always a Cubs element. There's always a Sox element. The beauty of podcasts is that you can scroll through if you'd like. If you have no interest whatsoever in the Sox, you can just listen to the Cubs and vice versa. And then there's always sort of an opening part of the podcast where I cover kind of just anything from the baseball world. And as you may have guessed, there's plenty of ballpark food and just food talk in general, Nick.
That's one of the things I wanted to get to. You were talking about some of the food items you've talked about the food at Guaranteed Rate. Let's tell us a little bit about that podcast and what you've eaten. So when people go out to see the Sox games, they know, where to get the best food.
Yeah, well, for me, this isn't anything new. Anybody who's ever been to a Sox game, the sweet smell wafting through Guaranteed Rate is normally those onions sautéing on a grill with pulled sausage. So that's always my go-to is the pulled sausage with onions. You can find that throughout both concourses on the lower and upper level. There's some new stuff, too. Johnsonville Sausages brought some new encased meats to the ballpark. There's one called the Slurve, which I'm a fan of. It's a cheddarwurst, essentially, a beer and cheddarwurst covered in onions and mustard. That one's delicious. They have a couple other ones that kind of have like a Mexican flair to it. There's some buffalo empanadas, which I believe is only up in like the club levels. But if you get your hands on those, I highly recommend them. They're empanadas with buffalo chicken in them.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's good. And then they have this new burger. It's a burger Cuban sandwich. So it's like, your traditional Cuban sandwich with the ham and cheese and pickle, but they basically pile that on top of some beef patties.
See, now I've heard about the Cuban hamburger sandwich, mm-hmm. and I've heard quite a lot about that, and that sounds fantastic. I love Cuban sandwiches. I think they're amazing.
Yeah, and it's a whole lot going on, and I was a bit skeptical, but it works. It's a lot of food, though. I mean, even for me, Nick, a big eater,
yeah.
I'd recommend if you're with someone, maybe cut it in half so you got room to try other stuff around the park. I've always been a fan of their elotes, which you can get in center field, and I think there's one right behind home plate as well. So that's always pretty good there, but there's no lack of quality food options at Guaranteed Rate.
Yeah, that's true. It is true. They've got great food there. And you talk a little bit about food all the time, but now you also talk to Chicago Dogs owner, Sean Hunter.
Yeah, the Chicago Dogs are Chicago's newest baseball team. They're an independent team, which means they're not affiliated with any major league teams, but it's an affiliate, and they built a whole brand new ballpark in Rosemont. And if anybody's familiar with Rosemont, they have that entertainment area. Nick, I know that's where you do a lot of your your
I just did
your,
one
your film club.
Just did one last night. I did used cars. I was just there last night, Tuesday night. Yeah.
There you go. So just on the other side of 294, the highway, I don't know if you were able to see it, but the ballpark's right there. So it's kind of a part of that whole entertainment area in Rosemont where it's great over there. And it's a good ballpark. I haven't been out there yet, but I've kind of looked through some stuff and amenities. It's a perfect family day at the ballpark where you're not going to spend a whole ton of money. And they've got all kinds of promotional nights. There's going to be firework nights. So I think it's cool, you know, why not? For people who live in the burbs maybe and can't necessarily afford to take whole family to Wrigley or even Sox Park, I think it's a good alternative. I recommend the games start in May 20th, I want to say. So we're still May 25th, I want to say, is their first home game. So we're still a couple weeks away. But, yeah, if you're looking for something affordable, something family-friendly, or, you know, if just some of your buddies want to go out and watch some baseball, it's a good option.
Cool. Now, did you ask who Sean Hunter, what his background is as the owner of the Chicago Dogs?
You know, we got into that a little bit. He just kind of has always had a hand in the sports world of things, and he had been in touch with the Mayor Stevens at Rosemont, and they had interest in bringing a ballpark there, and he had been in touch with them for quite some time, and they finally got the ball rolling. They broke ground last year sometime, and now you got a whole brand new ballpark right there in Rosemont.
I think that's great, man. I think that's great. It's a cheaper option. It's a fun option. Rosemont, there's so much stuff to do in Rosemont, and it's easy to get to, and you get to watch some baseball. Well, how did they put the team together? Was it through like drafting and things like that, or?
Yeah, so that was another thing I asked him. How do you essentially build a baseball team from scratch? And he had gotten to know the manager a little bit over the years, who at one point. Completely blanking on his name, I apologize, but he managed the Red Sox for a couple of years back in the 80s. So he had just kind of, you know, known him, and baseball people just know baseball people. Yeah. You know, like, you know, it's word of mouth, and a lot of guys who are just trying to keep their baseball career alive, and they talk to some scouts, they talk to some teams here and there, and they essentially had some workouts and scrapped together a team from some local guys and local Midwest guys. So it's pretty cool. It's a whole brand new, fresh team.
That's pretty cool. I like the logo. I got to tell you, when I first heard about it, I said it's like Chicago Dogs, because we've been playing some spots here on the station.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first heard it, so I looked them up online. I went to the website and I checked it out, and I thought it was really cool the way it was set up, and you know, the ticket prices and all that great stuff. And then I noticed the logo, and I thought it would be a canine, but it's a hot dog.
That's basically what they're going with, the Chicago hot dogs. So instead of going with the dogs, it's, you know, hot dogs for short for hot dogs. Yeah, the logo is great. I've actually, you know, it's funny you say that. Multiple people I've talked to who went online to listen to the podcast and saw the logo, that was like their first reaction. Man, I love that logo.
Yeah.
It's perfect. It's got the Chicago kind of colors worked in, Chicago flag colors worked in, and there's a hot dog with the Chicago Stars in it too, so I think they've done a great job top to bottom.
I also think it's funny. I was looking at some of their opponents, and I think their first or one of their first home games is they're playing the T-Bones, and I can't remember what city they're from, but they're the T-Bones, and their logo is a steak. So I'm like, wait a minute, what is this? You're going to be food related? Is this the food logo league?
Well, you know, that's minor league baseball for you, or I guess I should say, you know, semi-pro baseball. It's like the Joliet Slammers. The Slammers is a reference to the multiple prisons in the Joliet region.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, and the Slammers logo incorporates a guard watchtower and some barbed wire fencing as well, and it's their logo. So, you know, I think teams have fun with it. They get creative. They don't have to be overly serious about it.
Yeah.
And that's what you're seeing there.
All right. Well, you know, since we've been talking about baseball, let's continue. Let's talk a little Sox. You've been covering the Sox, and you know, you've been blogging about it. And patience is what people need, right, for this rebuilding.
Yeah, no question. I mean, the most important part this year, and we've said it a million times, is individual growth. Guys like, you know, Lucas Giolito and Carson Fulmer and Reynaldo Lopez, those are the pitchers, and Yoan Moncada, Tim Anderson, guys that, you know, when you project forward, you say, okay, these are guys that have enough talent, they have enough upside that they can be a part of this championship team when that window does arrive in a year or two or three. You know, so I think there's been maybe not as much as we had hoped coming right out of the gates, because there has been some struggles from the guys like Falmer and Giolito. Those two have been really up and down. They've shown flashes of some of the stuff that gets Sox people excited. Reynaldo Lopez has probably been the most consistent of them all. He's pitched at least through five innings in all of his starts, where Falmer had a couple innings where he didn't even make it through two innings.
Yeah.
Or a couple outings where he didn't make it through two innings. So that's been up and down. Yoel Moncada, to me, has shown the flashes that there was a reason he was the top-rated prospect in baseball for many years. It's why he was highly regarded. He's probably generated the most excitement for Sox fans, at least at the big league level. He is on the DL right now because, of course, you just got to be overly cautious with this guy. There's no reason to rush him along. But Moncada, to me, has been the biggest bright spot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it takes time. I mean, you know, we've talked about this before, Kevin. It's like the Sox are where the Cubs were, like, in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
That's yeah, pretty exactly. much that's and that's and that's kind of the time frame. People have to think about that time frame because it worked out for the Cubs.
Yeah, it worked out for the Cubs, and then you know, a couple weeks ago, the Astros were in town, and the Sox took a beating from them. Those are the reigning champs. They're the top of the American League right now. Everybody's looking up to them because they just won the World Series. So They're kind of the model in the American League. Cubs are the model in the National League. I will say this, and I've stood by this for since the Sox kicked off the rebuild. What the Sox had what the and the Cubs and the Astros didn't. Was that the Sox had guys like Chris Sale and Jose Quintana and Adam Eaton to trade to kickstart the whole thing.
Right.
So they got a whole bunch of prospects. The Cubs, for the most part, and same with the Astros, they really had to do it just through drafting. And once you draft a player when they're 18, 19, 20, it takes some time to develop them. Some of these guys that the Sox got were already, had been in the minors for a few years and developed a little bit, in a different pace. So I would say that the Sox probably had, I mean, just roughly throwing this out there, maybe a year advantage on these teams, maybe even a year and a half advantage on some of these teams.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, listen, Kevin, hang on, okay, man?
Yeah, no problem.
All right. Kevin Powell is with us. You can hear him do sports on Rokan Show 3 to 7 weekdays, and you can follow him on Twitter at kpowell720. And Powell at the Park, his blog and his Powell at the Park podcast are available at WGNradio.com. I'll take a break. We'll come back. We're going to talk Cubs. We're going to talk Bears draft picks and a little Blackhawks talk. That's coming up right here on 720 WGN.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. It's not warm when she's away. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. And she's always gone too long. Anytime She goes away.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Of course, that's Bill Withers. It could only mean that we're talking with Kevin Powell. Doing sports on Rokan Show right here on WGN 3 to 7 weekdays. You can follow him on Twitter at kpowell720. Check out his podcast, Powell at the Park podcast, as well. We're here to talk a little bit of sports, and then that's what's happening. It's Wednesday morning, 312-981-7200. Is our phone number for talk and text. Follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show. Best way to stay connected is on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Nick D Show. So like us right now. Let's welcome Kevin back. Kevin, welcome back, man.
All right. Thanks for having me, Nick.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk a little Cubs. Interesting, streaky, kind of a slow start that some people have been disappointed by. They scored 14 runs on Monday night. After not scoring like more than two runs in most of the games before that. And then, of course, I predicted I was being a real smart aleck about it. But I said right after the game on Monday when they won 14-2, I said, I guarantee you that the Cubs won't score more than one run tomorrow night. Because that's just sort of what's sort of what happens.
Yeah. Well, I think it was the previous five times they had scored in double digits. They followed that up with four or less runs, something along those lines.
Yeah.
So it's been very hot and cold.
It has been, yeah. I mean, they scored four runs last night, and they did win, and so that's two in a row after losing five straight. So it's been an interesting and kind of frustrating, but I'm still very, very hopeful for the Cubs. It has been a little bit aggravating though, watching them.
Yeah, I think we're kind of past the time where we all just dismiss some weird beginnings to the season and say, oh, well, it's early. Well, you know, we talked to Joe Maddon 2-3 weeks ago, and he said, well, talk to me when we're through 25, 30 games, and that's where we're at right now. And they're mostly been hovering around 500. Like you said, they won five in a row, then they lost five in a row, now they're on a two-game winning streak. It's been very up and down. I think Cub fans should be frustrated because you look at the core of this team for the most part, they were there when they won the World Series. It's not like this has been some major overhaul over the past couple of years. Right. Okay, you lost David Ross, you move on from Dexter Fowler, Jake Arrieta, you move on from him, but you go ahead and give $126 million to Yu Darvish. So, you know, I think the concern should be real. Do I think it's panic time? Absolutely not. They have a ton of talent. I don't think they've even played their best baseball. To me, the thing that stands out is the defense has been a little sloppy at times. You know, because we've seen the Cubs go streaky before on the offensive. Yeah. Even in 2016, that was kind of a trend that we saw quite a bit of. But some of the miscues and non-fundamental plays they make is, to me, a little bit eye-opening. You know, it's weird because the Cubs, it's like all these guys you think of as savvy veterans because we've watched them so closely over the past few years and they won a World Series together, but they are still a really young team. I mean, look at Chris Bryant and Addison Russell and Javi Baez. Those are guys that are still developing in some ways. I know Bryant won a MVP, and he's probably on a different level than everybody else, but, you know, there are some guys, and particularly with their plate appearances, where you see them kind of lose plate discipline a little bit, and they go fishing and they strike out. So, but I think overall, I think we're all anticipating a little more, considering that rotation is pretty deep. Chatwood hasn't performed as well as some have hoped. He's leading the league in walks right now, and Darvish, of course, is off to about the worst of a start as he could have drawn up.
No question about it. No question about it. Now he's on the DL.
Hit with the flu bug.
Yeah, hit with the flu bug on the DL. Javi, groin pull. So, he hasn't been put on the DL, right?
No, it was a right groin tightness is the way they described it, so we haven't seen anything there. Baez is at the plate, made massive strides this year. He's leading the NL in multiple categories, or at least near the top in almost all of them in home runs and RBIs.
Yeah.
He's still fun to watch, and he's still developing.
It's Rizzo's off to a pretty disappointing start as well. I will say this as far as like defensive stuff. I mean, obviously we've seen incredible plays from Baez, you know, pretty consistently. He's so, like you said, he's so much fun to watch. But Elmora is going to kill himself. Yeah. I'm worried for the guy's health. I'm worried for his safety. I think he's going to slam into a wall at some point. I mean, he's spectacular in the outfield.
Yeah, you look at some of the catches he's made this year, and we're only a month and a half or so into it, and it's like a full season's worth, if not more. It's like full two seasons worth of highlight reel stuff.
Yeah.
Some people who get really in depth in the analytics say maybe he doesn't take the best route to the baseball and things like that, but he's still making the catches.
Yes, he is.
Some of the catches that maybe could be a little bit more routine and he could have took a better path or something like that, you can look into that. But for the most part, he's coming up with the ball and he's making the catches. And I know Cub fans for a while now have been screaming for Elmora to take over that everyday starting role in center. I don't know if necessarily Joe Maddon's ready to anoint him as the main center fielder because it's Joe Maddon.
Yeah.
Joe Maddon likes to tinker with that lineup.
Yeah, he does. He certainly does. Well, you know, I mean, it is still, you know, it's only May 9th. So, you know, there's still time. It's been a little frustrating watching them rock back and forth, but they're a team loaded with talent. And, you know, and I think Maddon is a very creative and great manager. So I still think that we're going to have a great season on the north side as well.
I think they will too. And, you know, I wrote a blog that when the Cubs had swept the Brewers, Cubs are 7-1, something like that, against the Brewers this year. They've pretty much dominated them. And the blog was like, you know, this is a reminder to the Brewers that the Cubs are the class of the NL Central. And then the Cubs went ahead and got swept in
right.
St. Louis. But,
right.
you know, maybe I jumped the gun a little bit, but still, the Cubs have won the past two divisions. The Cardinals haven't won anything yet this year.
Yeah.
You know, and the Cubs do seem to always pick up and play well in these big games, and particularly late. You look at Joe Maddon's record with the Cubs from August on, and it's the best in all of baseball what the Cubs do late in the season. So it does a lot of tinkering, but it's always trying to position these guys for the final stretch and making sure you give yourself a shot at the end there.
Well, I will say this. I actually, like you, and you wrote a blog about it, I thought the Milwaukee series was going to be a turning point. I really did. And then it went the complete opposite. But that's okay. they got a two-game streak going now, and we'll see what happens. And the Sox, are they playing at Wrigley? The Sox coming to Wrigley?
It's Cubs Sox this weekend.
Yeah,
Friday,
right.
Saturday, Sunday.
Right.
So that'll be fun. You know, last year, a lot of the young guys on the Sox said, look, I mean, we're not necessarily playing in this sort of atmosphere all the time. So they get up. They get up for it, and it'll be fun.
Yeah, it should be. All right, listen, the Bears, the draft was a few weeks ago, and most people, I guess, said that the Bears did well, and their first three picks were solid players and positions that they needed. What were your thoughts on the draft?
Yeah, I think you got to be pretty excited because those first three guys in Roquan Smith, James Daniels, and Anthony Miller, the receiver, Daniels, an interior offensive lineman, all three of these guys could potentially be game one starters.
Mm.
So you got to be pretty happy with that. I guess if you know, for Roquan Smith, the linebacker that they drafted from Georgia, inside linebacker, everybody's excited about him. You know, maybe they would have preferred Quentin Nelson, the guard from Notre Dame, but the fact that you got Roquan Smith, who many believe can be a multiple Pro Bowl type guy in the NFL, it feels good for the, you know, the inside linebacker, not to get too much into the X's and O's of this Bears defense, but that position maybe doesn't have as much weight. It probably doesn't affect the defense as much as, say, like an edge rusher, a guy who can put pressure on the quarterback.
Sure.
But it still does. If a guy's an all-pro or Pro Bowl linebacker, it's that's a good thing, period. End of story. And this is a guy that relies on speed. You need that in the NFL. You're going to see a lot of good things out of him. I think he could be the next great Bears linebacker. And then the two other guys, plug and play. I mean, if they are who everybody thinks they are, they can. You can have another receiving threat, which can't hurt, considering you're trying to develop Mitch Trubisky. And then you got a big offensive lineman who can play left guard or center, and that's obviously huge too because he's the guy protecting Mitch Trubisky, or one of five guys protecting Mitch Trubisky. So, yeah, I think overall you got to be pretty pleased. Like I said, that edge rushing position probably still kind of a weakness for this defense. There's still some holes here and there, but overall I think you got to give props to Ryan Pace, general manager. I think they did a pretty good job this year.
Right. Yeah, okay, very cool. And really quickly before we let you out of here, the Blackhawks, they're sticking with Quenneville and Bowman, which, you know, we kind of questioned one of the last times you were on with us whether they were going to make any move. And I got to say, as the big Hawks fan that I am, I'm happy they didn't make a big move like that.
Yeah, I'm with you. It just it would have felt like they were jumping the gun. It would have felt like they were hitting the panic button a little bit. I realize it's been two back-to-back disappointing seasons now, but for what these guys have been able to do, give them one more year.
Yeah.
You know, if we see the same results, okay. I think everyone would probably shake hands and figure out a different game plan. But I'm kind of enjoying the world game, the world span. The Patrick Kane's playing well for Team USA. They're 3-0 right now.
Absolutely, man.
Get a chance to watch that, but at least we're getting a little bit of our Hawks fix.
Yeah, no, the Hawks fix is good, and I gotta say, I think the NHL playoffs in general are a lot of fun to watch this season. You got a guy on Boston licking people's faces and stuff. So right there, that's a that's a thing,
That's hockey players for you, right?
Exactly.
Well, the guy, he was in my face, so I licked him.
So I licked him.
End of story.
Okay, cool. all right, Kevin. It's always a pleasure, man. We can hear Kevin doing sports on Rokan Show 3 to 7 weekdays. Follow him on Twitter at kpowell720 and get to his podcast, Powell at the Park Podcast, and follow his blog as well. Always a pleasure, Kev. Talk to you soon, buddy.
You're the best, Nick. Appreciate it. Thanks.
See you, man. Take care. Kevin Powell, everybody. And, you've heard all the information on where you can find him. And just go to WGNRadio.com. You can also check out his podcast and his blog as well. All right, cool. We'll take a quick break. We got the news coming up next on 720 WGN.